Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're very excited about our next guest. It is Greg Cosell, of course, from NFL Films and the great show NFL Matchup on ESPN. And he joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Greg, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, what are we going to talk about today?
Baker Mayfield, Greg.
I wanted to talk about Johnny Manziel.
Oh, no. don't do that. You know, what's great about you is so many of us in this business, we let our emotions and we let our biases get in the way. And it's great talking to you because you take that all out. And you study the film and you give us what you see, and I love that. And that's why we got to know from you, because you're not emotionally invested in Baker Mayfield. When you see the tape so far, what do you see?
Oh, I like Baker Mayfield, and I liked him coming out of college. And I tell you, the thing that really stands out is you're talking about a guy that's very quick in everything he does. And I think for when you're a shorter quarterback, that absolutely needs to be the case. You cannot be deliberate. And he's got quick feet. He's twitchy in his movement. He's got a quick delivery. More importantly, he's got very quick eyes, and he sees things. And for a young quarterback, he goes through the process of eliminating what's not there and isolating what is there very, very well. He's refined in that regard. Now, having said that, is he going to have bad throws and bad games? Of course he is. He's a rookie quarterback and a young quarterback. I would say that the strength of his game is working between the numbers, although he's made some very good outside-the-numbers throws. There's no hesitation to his game, and he's willing to turn it loose. And I always view that in the NFL as a positive. Might you throw a bad ball once in a while because you think you can get it in somewhere? Yes. But when all is said and done, you have got to be willing to turn it loose in this league.
Greg, do you agree with the Drew Brees comparisons?
I guess I'll say it this way. I would say that for him to be a great player, and believe me, I liked him coming out. I like what I've seen in this small sample size. I'm not sitting here telling you that we should get the Hall of Fame jacket ready. but I think that he has to be that kind of player. So when people say Drew Brees, you know, I'm always leery of picking a guy who's a great, great player at his position. I think of it more stylistically. In other words, what kind of quarterback does Baker Mayfield have to be successful in the NFL? He has to play the position in a similar style to Drew Brees. Because when you're a shorter quarterback, the ball has to come out quick. You have to be a quick decision maker. You've got to see things quickly. You've got to have a quick delivery. You know, shorter quarterbacks can't sit in the pocket and wait for what I call late in the down throws, because the bodies get too close to them and then they can't see.
Interesting. A very interesting perspective from Greg Cosell, NFL Films, NFL Matchup on ESPN. All right, Greg, we talked about the positives, and there are a lot of them. But what, when you see the film, what are the concerns that you have? And are there any you're worried about that could last long term?
You know, I hate to say this because I don't want people, like I said, to think, you know, that we should get the bust ready. But yeah. I don't think there's negatives to his game in the way you're thinking about negatives.
Okay.
You know, obviously he's a young quarterback. Are there going to be times when, you know, he might leave the pocket too early, or he might try to run around a little too much, because he does have a playmaking, risk-taking attitude to his game, which for the most part I think is good. Can it be a negative? Yes. So what you're basically... I think the way I'd best answer that is he has to develop a very refined sense of situational football, understanding when he can do things, when he can't. That normally comes from repetition and experience. Is it automatic that a guy gets it? No. But I think in his case, he will. you know, he's going to have to develop a much better understanding, just because he's not played in the NFL very long, of defenses, what they're trying to do, all the different front looks, all the different coverage looks, how fronts relate to coverages, much more detailed in the NFL than in college football. College football, the game is far more spread out because of the hash marks, so all that stuff has to be declared much earlier. In the NFL, the hash marks are closer, so it doesn't have to be declared as early, and you have to go through the learning process of all that. So will he have downs? Absolutely. Are there things he'll have to learn? Yes. But I don't think he has negatives in that sense of, oh, my God, you know, God, he just doesn't know what he's doing.
When you look, I know you watched a lot of tape, college tape, too. And you watched
I did, a ton of it.
So this is great. This is what, well, I can ask you this question. When you watch the Browns offense, do you see similar concepts that they ran at Oklahoma or other schools run in college?
Because sure. Because I know, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I mean, I think the league has moved in that direction. I mean, in the big picture, Dustin, I would say that what you see so much more of in the NFL now, which I think comes from college football, are misdirection concepts in all areas of offense, whether it's the run game, the pass game, jet sweep action, pulling people in a different direction, you know, things that create problems for particularly for second-level defenders in the NFL, meaning linebackers and often safeties who are down in the box area. And I think that's where the NFL game has gone, and that's come from the college game. So, you know, do I see exact plays? That's a hard question for me to answer. When I'm watching Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma, I'm not necessarily charting the specific plays. You know, so, but you definitely see concepts that come from college football that are in the NFL for sure.
We're talking with Greg Cosell, NFL Films, of course, NFL Matchup, one of the best shows on ESPN. Greg, when you know, the Browns have blown so many first-round picks, and now it looks like they've nailed both first-round picks this year. Obviously, Baker looks really good so far. So does Denzel Ward, the defensive back. What did you think of him coming out of college, and what have you seen from him so far?
Loved the player, only was worried about the size. Because he's, you know, look, he's not a big guy, and all I worried about, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, is because he's very feisty and competitive, but he's 185 or 190 pounds, and he's not a big, you know, he's not a bulky type guy. So I loved the player, just didn't know if he could hold up when he has to match up to the bigger receivers that permeate the NFL now. And, you know, the sample size is too small to make that judgment either, but it's been very, very positive.
Hey, one question. The Browns are down, like, they have, like, three receivers now because they had an injury to Higgins last
week. Yeah, I know. I saw Willis is now out. Yes. He was going to be the guy after,
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what the heck they're going to do there. Next man up mentality, maybe Duke Johnson plays more of that role of receiver. But my question is, and I know you watched film last year too. He hasn't played this year. Do you think Dez Bryant still has anything left, or is that something you just wouldn't even
know? Here's my question with that. And when you say something left, I think he's past the point of being a 1 or 1A type player. So I think what he essentially is a complementary piece. And then you have to decide if, since there's a lot of those guys, Dustin, and you know that, you know, there's a ton of guys who are that kind of receiver, is he worth the potential trouble? You know, I'm not in their locker room.
Yeah.
I can't answer that. You guys live there. You guys know the deal in their locker room and with the team. You know, is Dez Bryant, as a guy who's probably a number, maybe a 2, more than likely a 3, is he worth that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I don't think he is, honestly. I think you're a young team. You're a developing team. I think you kind of just want to stick with those young players. I don't think – I never thought it made sense to go after Dez Bryant.
Right.
I know they're banged up at the position, but I was never in favor of it, this whole process.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. You know, I don't know Dez Bryant personally. But, you know, hey, when teams have a major need, though, you know, they do things that they feel they need to do. I mean, I can tell you right now, and you're there, but I guarantee they think that they can compete this year. And when I say compete,
yeah.
I'm not saying they're going, you know, 12-3-1 or anything. But, I mean, I guarantee they think they can win every single week now.
Yeah, that's got to be true. I mean, they've been in all these games. You know, Greg, what do you know, a lot's been made of the penalties and the personal fouls on quarterbacks, but there's got to be more to it than just that. Like, you've got so many quarterbacks on pace for 5,000 yards. I mean, right now you have 12 quarterbacks that have already thrown for 1,500 or more yards already. And then, you know, you throw, there's another, there's 15 guys that have thrown for 14, 45 or more. The numbers are crazy. Is it the offense? Like, is it the game planning? Is it the penalties? Is it a lot of different? What do you make of all that? All the passing?
I think that we're in a transitional period, and the NFL is cyclical when it comes to, offensive eras and defensive eras. I think we're in a transitional period of offense where we're getting a lot of these concepts from college football, as I said, that have spread elements, that have misdirection elements, and now defenses and smart defensive coaches have to try to figure this out, and they will. And I'm not saying we'll go back to 10-7 grinded out games. I don't think we're ever going to go quite back to that. But I think we're in one of those transition periods now where you have really athletic skill players, which includes tight ends. A lot of these tight ends are glorified wide receivers, and I think there's a transition here, and defensive coaches will have to start and figure this out, and it might take a year or two, but I think that's where we are now.
Looking at this matchup with the Chargers on Sunday, Philip Rivers is off to his best start, arguably in his career, and that offense, they're protecting him. Is this a legitimate match? Like, if the Browns win this game, I mean, can we start having a conversation about, hey, maybe they could be a playoff team?
Yeah, and I think Philip Rivers is a great quarterback. Yeah. I think that he's, he probably won't get into the Hall of Fame because of the playoffs, but I think he's a great quarterback, and I guarantee that Greg Williams, because he loves to blitz and is so good with blitzes, that he's thinking, hey, I'm going to go after this guy because he's not going to move. And you know what? People think he's great, and I'm going to knock him down a peg. That's Greg Williams' attitude. And I think he's very creative with his blitzes. I can think of one. It's actually in our matchup show this week, if I may do a plug.
Nice.
Matt Bowen broke it down. He played for Greg Williams in Washington. It's a great example of the kind of blitz that you could see conceptually from the Browns this week. And I think he'll go after him, and he'll make him try to get a little antsy and throw it up. And that's Greg's mentality.
From the opposite perspective, the Chargers are, without Joey Bosa again this week.
Yes.
I think they're averaging about 2 sacks a game. Do you expect, the Browns' tackles have struggled a little bit, but overall the offensive line's been pretty good. Who do you like in that trenches battle with the Browns' offensive line against the Chargers' D-line?
Well, Melvin Ingram's a really good player, and he's a terrific pass rusher, and he's a very explosive guy, so therefore he's very good with what we call speed-to-power rush, even though he only weighs about 260 or 265, because he's so explosive with his velocity as he gets into his rush. He can just drive back offensive linemen. I think Harrison will have to be well aware of that, because I think he's susceptible to that. Isaac Rochelle has been their other edge rusher. He's a second-year player from Notre Dame. He's had a lot of good snaps. He's not Bosa, obviously, but I think, and I think the important thing here is the run game. They do try to run the ball, and I think you want to get them, and this is not profound. Every defense wants to do this, but you really want to get them into the longer yardage situations, because that's when Greg will whip out his pressure packages. Because most pressure packages in the league, as you guys know, come from your sub-defenses. Your nickel, your dime.
Yeah.
Most come from that, the large majority.
Greg, I'm curious. Jared Goff, looked, I know it was a different coach. It was Jeff Fisher, obviously, but he looked hideous when we saw him in those 7-8 games, whatever it was, that first year. And then last year he looked good, and this year so far, it's early, he looks like he's taken even another step forward. We see the guys develop, obviously, the position, but such a drastic jump from year one to year two. Were you surprised at all? And do you think he's going to continue to progress?
I think he'll continue to impress, because you know what that's called? That's called coaching.
Yeah.
And I've been a big believer in that ever since early in my career, which is probably as big a highlight in my career as anything, that I got opportunities to spend with Bill Walsh. And I think it's coaching. It's not only coaching the position, but it's coaching schemes and concepts. The Rams are the best team in the league at creating space in the middle of the field in their pass game with their backfield actions and what we call minus splits. And Dustin knows exactly what I'm talking about, where the receivers are lined up closer to the tackles. You can call them minus splits, nasty splits. Every team has, calls things differently. But they're so good with that they create space in the middle of the field against zones, and they define the throws for Jared Goff.
How good's Patrick Mahomes on tape so far?
You know, I think the last couple of weeks he settled down a little bit. I mean, we knew he could throw. That's not the question. In college, he was very much of a sort of sandlot improvisational player, and I was concerned about that. And I think they're, to me, they're still a little concerned about that. That's the way he plays. He's a great thrower on the run. We'll see if he can survive in that world longer term. I think after five games this year, we have to be careful about anointing him. As I said, there's no question about the talent, the ability to throw the football. But, you know, I'd like to see him go around the league a little bit, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Greg, great insight as always. We really appreciate it. You know what? I don't know if you've done any work on him yet, but before I let you go, what have you seen so far, if you've done it at all, on Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State?
I did not do him. Okay. Over the summer, I watched a ton of quarterbacks who were, you know, some will come out. And I think that, you know, I looked at Justin Herbert. I looked at a bunch of quarterbacks. I actually think, again, this is just an opinion based not on a hardcore study, study. It wouldn't surprise me if Herbert is viewed as more talented if he chooses to come out than any of the quarterbacks that were in this past draft.
Wow. You know, the Giants will be looking for one near the top of the draft. They got their running back, Barkley.
You mean you're not a big Eli fan these days?
Oh, he's terrible, Greg. He's shot.
I just wanted to get you going. I just, you know, what's a segment if it doesn't get you going? You
That's
know?
Right. I got to get fired up. Eli stinks. I mean, it's interesting. Albert Breer brought this up with us the other day, and it's a good point. Like, there's probably as few a teams as there's ever been that need a quarterback right now.
Depending on what teams think of certain quarterbacks that, you know, we might think that are certainly professional quarterbacks, but is the team going to think they need an upgrade? That's a tough call. Yeah. When you have a professional quarterback that you can line up with, you know, you're not so quick to get rid of him, even if everybody thinks, oh, well, he's not a top five guy.
Right. Greg, great stuff, man. Everybody watch NFL Matchup on ESPN. We appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.